The title of our service today is Comfort Us, Isaiah. How important is Isaiah to us? Did you know he is the most quoted prophet in the New Testament? Isaiah's prophecies are so remarkable that John 12:41 records, Isaiah saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. And from the NIV, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. In our ecclesia, we were exchanging viewpoints about kingdom blessings and how kingdom arrangements might be. A good question was asked, are we assuming too much? What does the Bible confirm about kingdom arrangements? Do the scriptures confirm our views and the things we hope to be? I immediately turned to Isaiah and then asked myself, why are you going to Isaiah? I realized how much a major prophet like Isaiah means to me. Isaiah's name means salvation of Jehovah. Isaiah prophesied about 740 years before Christ, so about 2740 years before us. That's a long time ago. So, marvel with me today as we are comforted with some of our favorite scriptures and consider how long ago Isaiah recorded this. Isaiah lived in Jerusalem, had a wife and two kids, and was 65 or 75 years old when he died. He writes about judgment for sin and disobedience, and then about hope and salvation. Isaiah was devoted to God, fully obedient, and did whatever God asked him to do, including walking naked and barefoot for 3 years. Would you? Chapter 6 is where Isaiah really changed as a man. It reminds me of us. In chapter 6, verse 3, Isaiah has a vision from God of the future kingdom and then remarks, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Then in verse 5, Isaiah gulps and says, "Woe is me," because of the glory he saw compared to his own sinful condition. When we see God's glory, majesty, mercy, and perfection, we see our sin and unworthiness so clearly also. Verse 8, God asks Isaiah a question. Whom shall I send to do my work? Isaiah's reply was not, well, God, I have cows, sheep, family, grandkids. I mean, I have a lot to do. Instead, Isaiah declared, here I am, send me. When we were asked, will you give me your heart and serve me? We replied, here I am, send me. Isaiah knows he is ruined, broken, and unfit for service. It is only then God says to Isaiah, now I can use you. Now your sins are forgiven. We have work to do. Isaiah, that's why I asked, whom should I send? I tested your intention, and now you know your intention too. Does this happen to us? If we're humble, understanding our sinful condition and God's perfection, we can be blessed with service. We started our discussion today asking, what details of the kingdom does Isaiah confirm? Please comfort us, Isaiah. We see our sin. We see God's perfection and we are humbled. We accept service. Isaiah is telling us 2,750 years ago that we would be on the right path. We can trust Isaiah's words. Isaiah 1, 11 through 17. God says to Israel, I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure any more in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. Bring your worthless offerings no longer. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. End of quote. God said, I hate. That can't be good. Then God says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Some time ago, I was conflicted with my anger, the righteous anger I felt looking at an injustice we all see in the world, and certainly when the weak or innocent are harmed. Then Isaiah says, reprove, defend, and plead for these weak ones. But then Isaiah comforts me, comforts all of us. In Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God, with what should we reason? He says, you are created in my image, so reason with your brain. Come, let us reason together. Natural Israel, of course I will cancel your sins in the future through Christ, but if you accept my leading of you today, I will completely bless you. If you stay disobedient, tragedy will befall you in every way. Spiritual Israel, we reason. We know better. We see the kingdom arrangement, the great atonement, and we do our very best to keep our robes clean for our marriage presentation. Being obedient, we are blessed. Isaiah's mouth spoke God's words. God trusted Isaiah with such important future events, and we can trust Isaiah's statements because all the prophecy that was due thus far has come true. Imagine that Isaiah gave us a view of God's divine plan with incredible details. What a vision. Comfort us, Isaiah. Excerpts from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. In the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples, that's the whole world, will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. The scriptures reveal action from God, Christ, and mankind. God fully empowers Christ and his bride, and they are raised above the biggest governments, the U.S., China, Russia, whoever else. The chief of the mountains, Christ, will be raised above the hills, the earthly governments. Why above? So all mankind can see. Verse 2, all the nations will stream to it. Where are the nations streaming to now? They have selfish interests in as many different directions as possible. Many work in disharmony. It's like Satan's big box store. We have a huge selection for everybody's taste to keep you satisfied and separated. How many times have you seen in history all mankind streaming as one? The closest is World War I and II, when the world marched to death and destruction. That's as close as we got. Isaiah gives us a comforting prophetic picture of everyone finally turning and streaming, heading in the same direction. Comfort us, Isaiah. Verse 3, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah tells us, because God told him, that the law of love and obedience will go forth from the Messiah. Man will be taught his ways, and they will walk in his paths. A complete reversal. Restitution. Strong's 605 and 2525 means a complete reversal to permanently make. Verse 4, he will judge between the nations, will render decisions for many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. The result in verse 4 is mankind will learn, be judged, change, And they will say, let's beat our swords into plowshares. In 2021, the world spent $2 trillion on military defense. It would cost $300 billion to feed the hungry world for 7 years and change their lives forever with water and farming tools. If I presented a proposal to the United Nations to take 1 year of defense spending to feed the hungry and dying of the world, what would they tell me? Sir, the exit is that way. My fleshly man would want to drag them to the huge statue in front of the UN, donated by Russia, which reads, let us beat swords into plowshares. Okay? When? There will be a turnaround. What's the Greek word for turnaround? Restitution. In verse 4, God says to Isaiah, tell them, nation will not lift up sword against nation. Never again. They will not ever again. How do we know? Comfort us, Isaiah. Isaiah 46, 8 through 10. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. Isaiah 11, 9. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. This is God's pleasure. Isaiah's chapter 7 and 9, 750 years before Christ, Isaiah tells us a virgin will bear a son named Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for a child will be born, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulder. Verse 6 jumps from child to son to Christ running a government. Does any of this sound like eternal torment? Is mankind ruined? No. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. No end to the increase of his government means nothing can stop it. God's love comes to you through Isaiah. It comforts us. And all this is accomplished through the Messiah and you, his bride. Isaiah 11:5 implies that righteousness will be Christ's belt, his tool belt. Christ fixes once for all the evil and turns it around. Restitution. Isaiah 11, 6 through 8. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little boy will lead them. If a little boy can lead the formerly wild animals, we have a reversal, a turnaround. And verse 8 is how to give a mother a heart attack. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den? Mothers would gulp. But not here. Not anymore. Things have changed. How? They shall not hurt in all my holy mountain. Volume 4, page 633 suggests this, quote, they, evil, shall be forcibly restrained therefrom. The distillery, the brewery, the saloon, the brothel, the pool room, all time killing and character depraving businesses will be stopped, and their servants will be given something to do that will be beneficial to themselves and others. I ask, how will hurt be restrained? Well, from question book 118, we have this suggestion. Quote, for instance, if someone wished to speak evil of his neighbor and a punishment such as paralysis of the tongue should come upon him merely for the intention before he spoke the evil, do you not suppose that he would learn the lesson that he must not think evil? He would not speak the evil, for his tongue would be paralyzed before he even spoke the word. End of quote. The Messiah and the bride will be powerful. The Bible says that man will learn the lesson. When the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:9. It won't take them long to learn. They won't need calamity to learn that it would be better not to do wrong. They remember calamity from their experience with evil under the prince of the old world. Other comments from Brother Russell. Every misdeed will be punished as soon as it is determined upon, before it shall have been put into effect. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Every improper, injurious, and useless thing will be utterly destroyed. Mankind will be compelled to be obedient. I love Isaiah 14, verses 5 through 7. Quote, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger with unrestrained persecution. Ah, so the Lord will break the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers. And what is that in their hands? Wickedness. The rulers strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, and today it is never ending, isn't it? The result? It subdues the nations in anger with unrestrained persecution. That is what the leaders and corporations are doing to mankind. But Isaiah comforts us in verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. In our city of 70,000 people, the only time it gets quiet is Christmas morning. I was out driving this Christmas at 8 a.m. and it was really quiet. No one was out. Everybody was probably at home exchanging gifts, being kind for a short while, being at peace. This is as close as man can come on one day for a few hours. But verse 7 says, they break forth into shouts of joy. For once, other than an hour or two on Christmas morning, the earth is finally at rest. And don't they need rest? Mankind is finally quiet. Their desire for justice finally came. Loved ones back from the dead, they sing shouts of joy as one earth. Our joy has come. Isaiah 14, 22 and 23. And I, the Lord of hosts, will rise up against all evil. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of hosts. I love that picture. The Creator takes a broom and sweeps away the mess. Isaiah 25, 6 through 10. A beautiful passage you all know. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering, which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. End of quote. A lavish banquet for all people? You know the strong words for all. It's 3605. The whole. All. Everyone. It doesn't say a banquet for Bible students, Catholics, or JWs. Nope. Everyone. Isaiah 29:17-20. Is it not yet just a little while before Lebanon, now that's nominal churches, will be turned into a fertile field, and that fertile field will now be considered as a forest? Brethren, how does the nominal church system that collapsed and blew away in the four winds now become a fertile forest? Do we want that? Verse 18, because on that day the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Of course we want that. Spiritual vision is finally given to all, everyone. The things you see today, all mankind will see then. The fertile field where the wheat and tares used to be and where the stubble was burnt for cleanup will now grow into a healthy forest. Verse 19, the afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And who are the needy? Everyone. From God to Isaiah to you comes verse 20. For the ruthless will come to an end, and the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all who are intent on doing evil will be cut off. No gray areas here. Any tolerance for leniency do you see? None. You do evil, and you're cut off. When the ruthless are at an end, we have Isaiah 29, verses 23 and 24 from NIV. They will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who are wayward in spirit will gain understanding. Those who complain will accept instruction. The wayward asking, which way do we go? And we, the bride, will say, don't worry, we will help you. Let's read excerpts of comfort from Isaiah 35:5-10. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. Literally, this will happen, and symbolically, those blinded by sin will miraculously see truth for the first time. They will see what you see now. How will mankind feel about this? Is there any fake news here? Verse 8. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. The unclean will not travel on it. The unclean will not be permitted to enter this roadway. The unclean will not be permitted to enter that roadway. If you are unclean, the on-ramp to this highway for you is closed. How will it be done? By the power of the Messiah, the injurious tongue, the evil thoughts, and hands that do harm will be stopped. But the highway will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. What does this scripture confirm for us? Isaiah said what he meant. Someone with power and authority will ensure fools will not enter. God didn't have Isaiah record this accidentally. If you're on that highway, the obstacles which formerly impeded you, the obstacles which caused accidents and calamity, will be gone. Verse 9. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. Listen to Isaiah 2,740 years ago. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. The only ones found on this highway will be resurrected and cleansed mankind. Nothing else. Isaiah is comforting us. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord, that's resurrected mankind, will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. Did Isaiah mislead us about Christ and the stunning event in man's existence? No. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah wasn't kidding. God told him, he told you. Comfort us, Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. I like that. Another example of us today, and then those during the kingdom. The weak, broken, and weary in God may gain strength. You are strengthened today with the promises of God. They raise you higher. It's why we say, may God's promises strengthen your heart during your time of mourning or suffering or deep trial. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles fly high above this world, protected, and they look down with acute sight. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. As an eagle, you're poised far above this troubled world. Would you rather be in the troubled, restless sea or high above, looking down? God asks Isaiah to describe to you how God works with you and for you. On eagle's wings, no one can see you because you stay up high. You wait on the Lord. You've got strength to rise up and stay up. You look down from high above. The Holy Spirit trains your eagle vision to see things clearly. High above, raised by God, protected out of sight from predators, you calmly watch events unfold from God to Isaiah to you. Isaiah wants you to count on that so that God's will for completion of the bride and the fulfillment of the gospel message is complete. God called you, he wants you and needs you. Comfort us, Isaiah. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 65:17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Now, this doesn't make sense because I thought man's sinful experience was to help him remember the awful, evil days. Isaiah says the former things will not be remembered because of the unbelievable goodness of the new heavens and earth. Isaiah is saying God's new heavens and earth will be so good, so astonishing, better than you ever imagined, that this evil world and its technological trinkets will fade in memory because of such majestic, godly power and wonder. Apostle Peter repeats Prophet Isaiah in 2 Peter 3:13, but in keeping with his promise, God's promise to you, brethren, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. That's why Christ showed John the Revelator how the future will be. John repeats Isaiah in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 66:22. For just as the new heavens and the new earth which I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your descendants and your name endure. All mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. For the first time, all flesh shall worship God. Isaiah continues to comfort us in chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. We read this. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Genesis 12 is now fulfilled, and in you all the families of the earth are blessed. What does the foreknowledge of this kingdom do for you? Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. You, brethren, are God's people. The kingdom is coming. Isaiah 52:10. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, so that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. For the first time, God will expose his holy arm. Was the arm suddenly created? No, it was at work for man. It was Jesus Christ the Messiah, finally revealed to the whole world. Man will see how they got salvation and atonement. Oh, it was Jesus all along, they will say. You are God's people. The opportunity you now have through the ransom, the world will see then. Isaiah 53 asks you, and today, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, that's you, my brother. Those called and accepting and believing faithful footstep followers. Isaiah 54:13. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. And what will those sons help with? Road building and construction. Zion, build that highway of holiness. Isaiah 57:14 and 15. And it will be said by God Almighty, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I, God, live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Are we contrite and lowly in spirit sometimes? That is okay. Where do you think the world is? When your Creator says, remove the obstacles from my people, what people is he referring to? Anyone who is contrite and lowly in spirit, that description is us. That description must be man's approach in the kingdom coupled with humility. God in the high and holy place dwells with contrite ones, these humble hearts. God wants you to know he is with you today and revives you. It is our Father's pleasure to love his sons and children. Isaiah 62:10. This is where the on-ramp to that highway of holiness is open. Go through the gates. Can you hear the ancient worthies, the Israelites, the obedient peoples all saying, go through the gates, clear a way for the people. Build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a flag over the peoples, or lift up a standard over the peoples. And I love this part. Remove the stones. Remove the obstacles. It's not a highway of stones. When you get a pebble in your shoe, how long can you walk before you have to take it out? I can't stand it. It's an immediate impedance, and it turns out to be such a small pebble, but so burdensome. It's the same as sin. Stones of any size never make walking easy. Boulders, rocks, jagged rocks slows you down. But not this time. God says, my son and his bride will build up the way. All that impedance is now gone. In fact, we're going to make it easy for you to walk. I, God, will stack the odds in your favor. Are proud people willing to be taught and told what to do? Will they enjoy being told, go through the gates? Pride goes before fall. Proverbs 16. Isaiah 26:9. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. For selfish reasons, Christendom ignored the phrase, learn righteousness. Man will not be judged for immediate death, but will learn. Isaiah 45:18 from the NIV. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. If this doesn't compel you to walk through the gate, you have problems. So what can man expect? Isaiah 65:17-20. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives only a few days, or an old person who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. The first words here are no longer. A new kingdom begins. Verse 20 is so vast in its complexity, but in short, any human would be happy with 100 years to prove himself for a second chance at life in majestic surroundings. That's a gift. Isaiah 55:11, God says, the word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will do no evil or harm on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Isaiah 26:1-4. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God sets up walls and ramparts for security. And now we come back to the gates. Open the gates, the scripture reads, that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Isaiah comforts us further. Isaiah 45:18. God who created the heavens and formed the earth, he established it and did not create it as a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. Isaiah 1:26. Then I will restore your judges, those ancient worthies, and your counselors as at the beginning. Not the old law, but the new law coming from Zion. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness. The thrust here is verse 28, but wrongdoers and sinners together will be broken, and those who abandon the Lord will come to an end. To my friends in the world, can you not see that in the future God offers a second chance? What will the bride do? John 5:22-23. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world, that we will judge angels? Jeremiah 33:14-16. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch of David sprout, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. Revelation 21:8 says that the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars will be consigned to second death. A fair and just government. Let's close. It's a fearful thing to be in a river being swept along with the current with no chance to swim opposite. Today, man flows along with the rain of evil. But on that highway of holiness, man will flow with good. He will flow with the rain of righteousness. Isaiah comforted us with the promise of that highway, which provides direction. One person might try driving the wrong way, and that will be a single car accident. Isaiah comforted us and told us we have peace no matter what the outward conditions may be. Our trials and obstacles come to us mixed with joy, storm, but then blessings. Paul confirms this in Romans 5. We learn to cultivate patience in trial, knowing that patience works out experience, and experience works out more and more that hope which maketh not ashamed. Isaiah 64:8. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Mankind desperately needs each of us to do our jobs. Let's allow and appreciate the lessons we receive in the hands of the potter so we can make God and Jesus Christ rejoice as we each do our part to complete this bride. May the Lord add his blessing.